study of a few years back, they say human usually think about, spends 75% of the thinking on the past, on the present, the problems, and the future. And the 25% is on the past and the rest of the things, you know, like people. So the first one, past, could be good and bad times, achievement, your lessons learned, your task outstanding, you haven't do yet, dreams that yet to be fulfilled or realized. Then of course people, you know, you meet somebody, you go overseas, you meet somebody, or remembrance, like, you know, somebody pass on, you remember somebody, or you remember what the person say, the actions or words. So this is what generally people think about. Now, are we naturally positive thinkers? I think you will agree the answer is no. We most of us are quite pessimistic and anxious by nature. Now, you did say that the human race had survived all through the ages, negative thinking, always preparing for the worst, you know, expecting the worst to come. So most of us are an anxious lot. How can we tell? You look at a bookstore, you know, one look in all those bookshelf is full of those volume of self-help books, motivational books, and all this. But Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 is not about positive thinking. It's not about optimism, the New Age philosophy. You know, there's a lot of New Age philosophy talking about positive thinking, about New Age, about optimism. Why? Because those New Age philosophy teaches people to focus on what is good about ourselves. What is good about ourselves? Then you look at it, it's contradicting to the Bible, what the Bible says. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there's none righteous, not one. And then it also teaches people the new philosophy about what is good about this world, you know, what's good is good. And then again, go contrary to the Bible, because the Bible in Romans, correction, in 1 John 5, 19, it says the whole world lieth in wickedness. Right, this is a sinful world, and you just look at this, one single issue, for example, hunger and food, you know. At the same scale, you have one extreme end, you have really poverty. It is said in the United Nations report that 842 million people go hungry every day. And it is also, the statistic is it's very staggering in the sense that 21,000 people die every day due to hunger or hunger-related problems. And that means to say every 4 seconds, one person die. As we talk, you know, you count 4 seconds, one just pass on. And usually these are children. So you're one end, very extreme of the hunger. Then you have another extreme end of the same issues. You have people wasting food. Right? In Singapore, we all learned last year, break the all-time record, 700,000 food wastage. 700,000 tons. And also, UN did a study that say Europe itself, you know, those food wastage itself, can actually feed 200 million people. And Latin America itself can feed 300 million people. So look at the world. It is at one extreme end and the extreme end of all the issues. Then, of course, you look at the same issues, freedom, human freedom, right? One, you have this very liberal kind of human rights, human freedom, people abusing it and all this. Then at the extreme end of it, you have the people still in slavery, still in caught in slavery. The UN, again, estimates about 21 million people still under trafficking and slavery today. Quite amazing that, you know, in this modern age, you do have slavery. So what's so good about this world? The world who will lie in wickedness. God says so. And of course, the New Age thinking talk about expect the best outcome for us. I mean, the best means, yearn and desire for the good things in life and all this, a better world and all this. But again, Bible says, we all know that in Matthew 24 verse 21, the great tribulation will come. Second Peter chapter 3 verse 10 talk about, you know, the whole world will melt with a fervent heat. And then even just look, maybe two chapters above, in Philippians chapter 1 verse 29. Philippians chapter 1 verse 29. And for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. So, things will come. And God says, those who live godly life shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. So, perhaps an encouragement for people who feel that they are being, keep on doing right, but yet still opposition coming in. Right? So, but doesn't mean that a Christian lot, this book is about, it's pistol of joy. It doesn't mean that the Christian doesn't have joy, you know. So what is our optimism? Optimism is not in ourselves, not in the world. Our optimism is looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Lord's Savior, Jesus Christ, which is in Titus chapter 2, verse 13. So that is our optimism, right? Now, let's look into the Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and see what are the six things that God wants us to really think about, right? Now, why I want to share this is because most of the time, 75% of our time are spent on thinking about the problems, the presence, and we need to think more about what God wants us to think. Finally, Paul says to the Philippian church, finally means now, henceforth, whatsoever things. The words whatsoever things means as far as, how much, how many, or it comes from a root word, who, what, which. So if you replace it, it's actually God asks you to think who, what, which, and the six the things that he wants us to think about. Number one, true. If I ask you, what is true? You know, Bible is true. If I ask you, who is true? Who is true? Matthew 22, verse 16, the Pharisees say to Jesus, thou art true. Jesus is true. And we know God is true. And so whenever God asks us to think whatever sort of things, whatsoever things are true, think on this thing. So think of Jesus Christ, think of God. When God looked away from his son on the cross, think, that should have been us, really. You know? It's because of Jesus Christ, we are saved and secure, we have hope, we have eternal life. In John chapter 11, verse 25, on the resurrection, and the life, he that believed in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And we know Jesus is the truth, right? In John 14, 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So, when we look at all the lies and false teachings and hypocrisy around us in this world, you know, we sometimes can lose sight of the truth and hope. So God says, whatever things are true, think on this thing. Think on Christ. Sometimes we think that we have it worse. You know, we have it bad. You know, think about Christ. He went through the worst. Far worse than any one of us in this world, in this history. Far, far worse. Now we talk about Nelson Mandela, the former South African president. He was in prison for 27 years. People say, oh, this guy suffered a lot of injustice. 27 years, lost his life to just injustice. Just think, Jesus suffered far, far, far worse than him. It's injustice for what Jesus has gone through. And on top of that, Jesus went through Jesus bore those guilt and shame of those who tormented Nelson Mandela. So you see how much worse Jesus went through for us. So whenever we feel down, whatever, think of Jesus Christ, think of those things. Number two, we want to look at honors. Honors means grave or serious or honorable or reverent. Now we all know it's impossible for God to lie. Hebrews 6:18, right? And then in Titus chapter 1 verse 2, God cannot lie. If we think of honors, we also must think of ourselves. Not that we are honest, but we have to be honest with ourselves. So when we think of honest, we have to be honest with ourselves. When we are honest with ourselves, then we see the realities of life. We see that we are sinners before a holy God, right? In Romans chapter 7, verse 18 to 19, it reads there, sorry, I'm going a bit fast. Some of the verses I'll just read through, but some of us maybe we can turn together and read. So in Romans chapter 7, verse 18 to 19, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I will do not, but the evil which I will not, that I do. So you know that in our flesh, you are no good thing. So if you are honest with yourself, we know that we are sinners before Holy God. We know that death is real, death is coming, right? But after death comes the judgment. Hebrews 9, 27, right? And it's pointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And then without salvation, there's no escape. Really, there's no escape from God's judgment. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And we know that if we are honest with ourselves, we are sinners, we cannot save ourselves. So Titus chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And Isaiah 64, verse 6 says that all our righteousness are filthy rags. So when we are honest, we know there's a lot of things we need to change, we know the things to improve. And as we draw closer to God, and FBI will learn that when we draw closer to God, God's light will shine on us, and then it will show us up all the flaws and whatever shortcomings we have. The psalmist in Psalm 139 says, search me, O God. So thank God that we have Jesus Christ. We can face life with meaning, and we can take suffering. I was just thinking, suffering to Paul. What's the definition of suffering to a Christian? Suffering to a Christian, to make it the simplest form I can make it, is suffering is defined as pain with joy. Pain with joy. When you think of suffering, pain with joy. That's how Paul went through. Right? He went through suffering, but pain with joy. And there's a meaning for that. And because we have this, we have this, able to take suffering and all this, because Jesus has already paid the penalty for our sins. We are no longer under the bondage of our sins. And therefore, when we commit a wrong, we can be honest about it and confess to God. and who promised to forgive. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your faults to one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. So when we commit a wrong, we can confess to God. We can come up to God and say we have done wrong. And then when the brethren commit a wrong, we need to be honest as well. And we need to look at our own faults before we look at His fault. Let's turn together to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. I think it's a very common verse and it should often be used. Luke chapter 6, verse 41 to 42. I would like the sister to read 41 and the man to read 42. Luke chapter 6, verse 41. The ladies and then the man will take the 42. Ready, ladies, sister, ready, begin. And the man, 42, and then how can thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that in thy eye, when thou appearest not on this part of thee? So we can see that when we're honest, think of things that are honest, we think about ourselves, we have to be honest. When we do wrong, we can come clean before God. And when other people do wrong, we also must, before we go and look at other people's wrong, we have to look at ourselves, right? This is what Luke chapter 6, verse 41-42 teaches us about. And look at it, Jesus wasn't talking to just anybody. Jesus was talking to disciples, right? Jesus was talking to his disciples. So he said in verse 42, thou hypocrite. So we have to check on ourselves all the time. Now looking at life made of imperfect human beings, right? Fighting with the flesh and struggling to do right all the time. We sometimes can get self-righteous without even knowing or seeing until God reminds us to be honest. So whatsoever things are honest, think on this thing. Think on God who not only show us our sins, but also has forgiven them on account of Jesus Christ. Right? If you go back to Philippians book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 3, right? It talks about how we need to esteem the other, our brethren, better than us, right? So this is talking about the next one, okay? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, right? The third thing we want to look at, we have to look at true, honest. We're going to look at just. Just, the meaning of just is righteous. What is the meaning of righteous? I was just also trying to think of a simplest form to explain righteous. Righteous is not what is right. Righteous is not what is right. Because what is right, like I say, you know, that's what I mentioned about just now, the lady, right? Everything do right become wrong. So what is righteous? Not righteous is not right, everything is right. Righteous is right before God. Not right before our own eye, right in our own eyes, right before God. Okay, so that is righteous. So we all know that who is righteous. In the centurions, when they, after Jesus Christ, gave up the ghost, the centurion in Luke chapter 23 says he is the righteous man, right? And then of course Pilate, not this Pilate, the Pilate, in Matthew chapter 27 says I will wash my hands because you know, this is a just man on Jesus Christ. And of course Ananias, when he talked to Paul, he said, you have seen the just one, means you have seen Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, right? In Acts chapter 22. In Revelation chapter 16, the third angels called the Lord is righteous. So when you think of righteous, just, righteous, think of Jesus, think of God, but also think of the righteous judgment. Righteous judgment, when you think about righteous judgment, there's only one judge, which is God Himself, and the judgment seat of Christ. For us Christian, because of Jesus Christ, we are not going through the great white throne. Right? So we are going through the judgment seat of Christ. And the judgment seat of Christ is not to judge our sins, but to judge our, what we have done for our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn with me to Romans chapter 14, verse 10 to 13. Romans chapter 14, 10 to 13. I'll just read, right. But why dost thou judge thy brother? In Romans chapter 14, verse 10. Or why dost thou set and not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. In verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block on an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So, and again, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, talk about esteem others better than ourselves, right? So when we are honest with ourselves, then we should know that better not to judge others and stumble one another. Why? Because before the judgment seat of Christ, we have to give account not for another brethren, but we have to give account for ourselves, including why we judge and why we stumble one another. Now, we are not called to be a witness in the judgment seat of Christ. We don't go there, okay, oh, Brother Edward, God will ask me what did Brother Edward do, or when ask Brother Edward what did Brother Dennis do. We are not there to be witness. We are there to account for our own thinking, our own doing, and our everything. So, the second thing we talk about in the judgment seat of Christ, because we talk about we are going to be judged based on our works, right? What we have done for Jesus Christ. So you have to consider how much it really, when I reflect upon it, is like, it is quite awakening call for myself as well. We have to consider how much of what we have done for Christ may be counted worthless simply because our heart was not right with Him, right? Because something our heart, right? For example, you know, I'll do something. You're doing things, many things. You're serving God, but in your heart is saying, like, "These brethren, if you have done it, then you never do it." You know, like you are judging another brethren. When you go there and you tell God, "God, you see, I've done this and this," but God asks you to check your heart. Why do you, you know? Then you say, "Wow, this is count worthless because my heart was not right with God." In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10. It says, therefore, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body, which is in this life, according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Bad, it means worthless. It's not worth. So, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 16, you know, Paul says, he looked forward to seeing God, seeing Christ. Right? It's Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. And he's hoping that his work has not labored in vain. That is what it means. Right? When you appear before Jesus Christ, whenever you whatever work you have done and you present it before Him, it has to be right with God, right? It has to be right with God. So when we do things, we have to think about all this, about the judgment, and human often judge each other because of, if I can simply put it, it's because of pride. I know what is and who is right, or prejudice. I know who or what is not right, or lack of empathy. They ought to be doing this, or they ought to know this and do what is right. We are to live up to godly standards, but sometimes we are tempted to do the measuring ourselves instead of leaving God to do the measuring. Remember, we are to do the living of God's godly standard, but we are not to do the measuring. The measuring is done by God. So whatever things are just, think on this thing. Think on the just and righteous judge and the judgment seat of Christ. Then when we do things, we will know that we will do it with joy, because we are serving God. Right? We are serving God, presenting our works before God. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, talk about church unity. Now, Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, it says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. There's a unity there. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. In verse 3, he went on to say, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other better than themselves. That means the thing that with the lowliness of mind, humility, thinking others are better than me, not I'm better than the other person. So think on this thing. The fourth thing we want to talk about is pure. Pure. Think of whatever sort of things are pure. When I think of pure, I think of the word, the chaste, clean, and I think of pure words, God's word. Psalm chapter 12, verse 6. Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times, perfect. Psalm 119, verse 143, thy word is very pure, exceedingly pure. Psalm 19, verse 8, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, right? So we know that, think of pure, we think of God's word. Now, the false doctrines we know are coming fast and furious from all sides. And adulterated truth is no truth. Right? Just remember, adulterated truth is no truth. Sometimes you can get disheartened by the lies of this world, and as God's truth and words is constantly being challenged and bombarded by the fiery dart of Satan, the father of lies, we get frustrated by the vile attempts to dirty God's words. But remember, God's word shall stand forever and not pass away. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. When you think of pure, think of God as well as think on God's word. And as we resist the field of this fleshly wisdom to distort the truth and facts, as we resist the worldly influence to keep our lives pure, we rest on His promises presented in His word. Whatsoever things are pure, think on this word. Think on God's words, because it is sharper than any two-edged sword that can divide the truth from lies. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Now, when the world don't believe God's word is true, what should we do? When the world don't believe God's word is true, then we have to show them His word is true. Give them a reason why we believe what we believe. By our standard, by our living, right? Meditate on the word. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 16 as well, Paul says, told the Philippians, holding forth the word of life. Holding forth the word, holding forth means give attention, observe, apply, right? So we look at four things already. Now look at the fifth thing, lovely. What is lovely? We all know what is lovely. Lovely means pleasing, very pleasant. Now pleasing can be, you can use to describe, oh, this flower is very pleasing. But also can use the word to, is a action word to show that we are seeking to please someone. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, right? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, it says we need to please God, right? And so the other thing we need to please is Romans chapter 15, verse 1 to 2. Romans chapter 15, verse 1 to 2. Let's turn to Romans chapter 15, verse 1 to 2. Romans chapter 15, verse 1 to 2. Romans 15, chapter 1, verse 2, right? It says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. So we seek not to please ourselves, we seek to please God. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edifications, right? So we need to please God and we please to one another. And that's why in Philippians chapter 2, verse 20 to 21, see, it's very consistent in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verse 20 to 21, for I have no man like-minded, this is referring to Timothy, the pastor Timothy, who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. Paul is saying that people are seeking their own things and not Christ's things, and he's encouraging people to be like Timothy, right, the pastor Timothy, who look after the state of the people in Philippians. So seek to please one another, seek to please another person by building him up. Seek not to please ourselves, but to carry a weaker burden. Pause here, maybe do some thinking exercise. Think back, has anyone been pleased or touched by someone in this church? I'm sure you have. Have you been touched by somebody? Or have you been pleased by somebody? I'm sure you have. I personally have. So when we feel discouraged or when we feel that our footsteps are heavy in our Christian walk, remember those moments that you have been blessed and touched by someone. Whatsoever things are lovely, think on this thing. Now, the lovely things that were done for you are worth recollecting. Why? Because it was actually God's doing. Think about it. Right? Whatever things that are done for you are worth recollecting because it was God's doing actually. Right? Last thing we'll look at is good report. Good report. Good report, the meaning of good report means things spoken in a kindly spirit with goodwill. The church needs to be filled with things spoken in a kindly spirit with goodwill. The church needs to be filled with good report. Christians need to be filled with things spoken in a kindly spirit with goodwill. Christians need to be filled with good reports. Now, just like David, who chose to focus on the good of Saul rather than his bad. Let's turn to 2 Samuel. So we look at all the New Testament, so we must always look at one Old Testament verse. 2 Samuel chapter 1. 2 Samuel chapter 1. This is when talking about the news of Saul and Jonathan, his sons were killed. The news was brought to King David and how David reacted. Remember, Saul tried to kill David a few times. So they are actually, in a way, enemies. But look at how David responded when he heard about the death of Saul and Jonathan. In 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 17. And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. And then you go on and say, and look at verse 23. Verse 23. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives. In their death, they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. David had nothing but praise for Saul. He even though no matter what Saul has done to David. So we love good reports more than bad ones, don't we? So when we are not getting good reports ourselves, what do? We make them ourselves. So whatsoever things are good report, think on this thing. Think on making good reports ourselves in other people's life. Right? Think of making good reports, meaning to say, show goodwill and be of blessing to somebody. In conclusion, lastly, if there be anything, whatever is of virtue. Virtue means moral goodness. Praise means commendation, right? Think on this thing. Now, the reason why this sharing came about is because, tendency is for us to look at the bad things and think bad. Now, left to our natural self, we will be like the world needing self-help and motivation and the feel-good philosophy to see the good from the bad. But Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 teaches us clearly to think on those things of God, starting from Him, His nature, such as His good, His holy, His faithful, His mercy, His gracious. Think on His teachings, His promises, His instructions, His word, and His sacrifice for us, and most importantly, perhaps, His love for us. So when we think on this thing, then logically there is no room for in our mind to store the bad things. Right? And the reason why this sharing is also because, remember we always say, think before you do. Think before you do. Now many Christians do and do and do, then they forget to think on these things. And then they get tired, and after a while they lose sight. Why they do it, they get disheartened, they lose the joy, and they give up. Or the other extreme is some of them may get ahead of themselves, lose sight of the fact that, or the truth that all glory belongs to God and who they are serving. Remember last Sunday, Pastor mentioned about the outcome belongs to God. So we just need to do and do. The result, we leave it to God. Right? And we do it with joy. So think on those things, the six things, we will have joy in doing and serving, and we will continue to keep on keeping on. Now, we learn about the Anurag Judson, the missionary to Burma. Right, he do and do and do, toy in the country for many years, lost two wives and all this, health and a son as well. I believe one of the child died. So, but in the end, you know, in his lifetime, he didn't get any conversion. But it was after his death, you know, there was thousands of people who converted to Christ. So sometimes we just do and do, the result may not show, but God knows. And at the end of the day, I believe Mr. Judson now, God is showing him all the rewards in heaven. So think on these things is not enough. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Think on these things is not enough. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, what did God tell us to do? Thinking first, yes, you must think on all these six things. But Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, the word here is, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. When you do all, when you think and you do, God of peace shall be with us. Right. As we do, we need to reflect why we do. Remember who we are doing for, focus on what we are doing, anticipate the oppositions in doing the work of God, consider our brethren as we do, be sensitive, and the God of peace shall be with us. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep our hearts and mind through Jesus Christ. In verse 7, that means to say, keep our hearts from the wrong feeling, keeping our minds from the wrong thinking. Now, with that, then you look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 to 8. Right? Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 to 8. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Right? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who, being in the form of God, thought it's not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, means he emptied himself, and took upon him the form of servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let this mind be in us, just like in Jesus Christ, right? What is the mind of Jesus Christ? He came not to judge the world, right? John chapter 47, but to save the world. He came here to do the Father's will. John 6:38, which pleased God. This is my Son, whom I am well pleased. Matthew 3:17. So, I hope this short sharing will help us to refocus on what we need to do, what we need to think, not just what we need to do, what we need to do, because our mind is occupied every time. Even we are not doing, we are sitting down, drinking coffee, we are thinking. But think on those six things that God asked us to think. And then when you serve God, then you find meaning why you do it, and you will continue to go on. Lastly, I'd like us to do a mental exercise here. to put things in our in our life in God's perspective. In the last verse, few verses I'll look at is Revelation. Can everyone turn to Revelation chapter 20? Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And then we'll continue to look at chapter 21 until all the way to verse 8. Now, I'd like everybody here now to do a mental exercise. Think of somebody. In fact, think of somebody. Put a name to it. Think of somebody that you know that the moment this, if at this moment this person was to die now, you know that he'll be end up in hell. Think of that person. Put a name to it. In fact, I can think of five names already. It could be your parents-in-law, it could be your sister-in-law, brother-in-law, it could be your close friend, it could be a colleague. Think of a name. Then I'll read. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no peace for them. And I saw the dead small and great stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. In verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. In verse 15, and remember the name that you have in your mind, put a name there. It's not whosoever. I say I can think of five names to put there. Was found not written in the book of life. Was cast into the lake of fire. Does it change your perspective of life? In Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Bad news for the people whose hobby is fishing. No sea in heaven. But God didn't say no river, right? In verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be with and be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. In verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Where does those tears come from? Are those tears going to be those that you shed for the loved ones that you see cast into the lake of fire? And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. And the former things are passed away. So, sometimes when we occupy our mind with things like, you know, why this person do that to me? Why this person do this to me? Why da, 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 bad things happen to me? Actually, you think of it, in the new heaven, you probably forget everything. And then probably you cry and say, why did I bog myself down with so much those negative thinking? So that things are not godly, and then when people are on their way to hell. And if you have, I'm sure every one of us just now had a name. Anybody don't have a name? All have a name, right? That you know that if this person were to die right now, he would be cast in the hell of fire because he doesn't have Jesus Christ. So let's put our whole life in perspective. Think on these things. Think on what we need to do. Think on things that matter to God and matter to us. If things that matter to God should matter to you. Things that doesn't matter to God shouldn't matter to you. I mean, we heard that many times. So in closing, just want you all to think about this. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we give thanks, Lord, for your word, Lord. Lord, this your word will enlighten our eyes, Lord, and sharpen our mind, Lord. So the Lord, our mind will be like Jesus Christ, who did not come here to please himself, but to obey your will and to do your work and finish what you have willed him to do, Lord. Lord, as we think of those things, think of what is true, what is honest, what is just, what is pure, what is lovely, what is a good report, help us to be like Jesus Christ. Come here to think of those things and not to judge one another, but Lord, to do and focus on your and do based on our action and based on your word, Lord. And also, Lord, to build good report for one another, Lord, that we have good will for one another, seek to please you first, and to seek to please one another above ourselves, Lord. So let this mind be in us like the mind that Jesus has, Lord. And as we continue later with our prayer request, Lord, help us to remember our loved ones, Lord, and Lord, pray may they not be in like those names that we think about in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, that Lord, they will be cast into the lake of fire. But Lord, only you can, Lord, but we can just continue to do and do. Lord, the result and outcome belongs to you, Lord. I want to give thanks for this time, this simple sharing. Lord, forgive me if I've not shared to my best ability, Lord. I just pray that, Lord, help everyone to remember that think on those things that you taught us to think, Lord. Give thanks once again. And we pray that you'll be with us for the rest of the time. In Jesus' name we pray.